and Peter's about to die. In 2 Peter, we see in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So this letter Peter's writing is writing it to all Christians. He says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter's not just writing this to everybody, he's writing it to those who have received the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Peter says, I'm writing to those who have that righteousness. We can't get a righteousness of ourselves. It comes through Jesus Christ. So what does he have to say? We're going to jump. We're not going to read the first few verses first. We're going to start in verse 13. We're going to read verse 12, 12 to 15. So the first point is the compassion of Peter. Peter has something that is a message, a last word he has for Christians that he's very burdened to get that. So look at what he says in verse 12. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter, three times, uses the word remembrance. And he's talking about something, and we're going to see that in a second. But he's talking about something that he really wants these people to remember. Okay? He says, I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to remember it. Verse 12, he says, I'm going to do that. Verse 13, Peter says, I recognize you know this already, but I want to remind you again. Verse 13, Peter says, I'm going to keep doing it as long as I'm alive. That's the reference to the tabernacle. Verse 14, Peter says, I realize I'm about to die. If we wanted to, we could go back to John 21, and Jesus tells Peter, when you were young, you would gird yourself and walk wherever you will. When you're old, someone else will gird you. And he talks about them stretching his arms out. Jesus, it says in John 21 that Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to be crucified. Peter is anticipating that this is about to happen. He says in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He's like, I'm about to die, and I really want you to remember something. I know you know it already, but I wanted to remind you again. In verse 15, he says, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So whatever Peter is talking about, this last word of Peter, he says, I'm going to remind you, you know it. I know you know it, but I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to keep telling it again as long as I'm alive. And when I'm dead, I hope that you don't forget it. I'm going to try my best to make sure you don't forget it. And I love that he says it, and then God does it. He says, I don't want you to forget this message, and God wrote it down for us. So it's not been forgotten, right? But this is what a man who walked with Christ, a man who had been rebuked by Christ, a man who said, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. This man, about to die, has something he wants every Christian to remember. And it's so important, he says, I'm going to keep saying it until I'm dead. And after I'm dead, I hope you don't forget. So what is this he has? So we've seen the compassion of Peter. This message he has is very important to him. And because of how close he was to Christ, this message ought to be very important to us. And we'll see why it's so important to Peter. Secondly, we're looking at the conviction of Peter. So we've seen the compassion of Peter, verses 12 and 15. Now we're looking at the conviction of Peter. Now we're going to jump back to the very beginning of the chapter. So Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior, of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's pray before we continue. We're going to look at this message that Peter really wants us to know. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to open your Word. Thank you for preserving your Word for us. Thank you for the heart of Peter, desperately wanting this message to not be forgotten. Pray that you'd help us tonight to do what Peter asked, that we would put this message in remembrance. We remember it, and we apply what Peter had for us. Pray that you would honor your Word this evening. You would speak through me, that you conform us more into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've seen Peter's compassion. This message was very important to him. So now let's look at what he wants. What is he talking about? Verses 2 to 4, Peter talks to us about knowing his God. Peter says, I know that you know that you need to know who God is. You need to continue to grow in your knowledge of God. I think whoever it was that prayed about that we would grow in our knowledge of God. Wasn't it you? I believe so, yeah. That's what Peter's desire was. He said, I really want you to know my God. These days, there are so many ideas on who God is, so many distortions and caricatures of who God is. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10 said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And in the end of Peter's life, he realized Christians, he's talking to Christians now, really need to know who God is. So here in verses 2 to 4, the conviction of Peter, why you need to know God, he gives us four reasons. Four reasons why we need to know God. Look at verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. So Peter says, this message is so important, I'm not going to quit, and I hope after I'm dead you don't forget. But what this message is, he says, you need to know my God. If you do, one, he says, you'll have grace. Multiplied grace. What is grace? Grace is God doing for us what we can never do for ourselves. And you know what? Everything that's Christian, that pleases God, requires grace. Paul said, in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So when we do things in our own strength, it doesn't please God. So if we want to please God, we have to have grace. There's a whole list I have here about grace. We're told that God resists the proud in James, that he gives grace to the humble. Bible says that we get saved by faith through grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Bible says that Jesus calls himself the God of grace. So grace and peace are very, very important. It's interesting that how many people are hunting for peace. This world is desperately in need of peace. I taught at a Christian school down south during college, and I made all my students give me a few questions they wanted from the Bible. And the predominant question was, how do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with worry? People are wanting peace. Peter says, why this message is so important, why you need to know God, is because you'll have the power of God to do what you can't do for yourself, grace. And you'll have peace. Multiply peace. The Bible teaches that we can have peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Philippians 4, he says, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peter says, all you need to have that peace is you need to know my God. You need to know God. He's talking to Christians. The implication is that you can be a Christian and not really know God. So Peter has given us two things so far. And look at verse 3. He gives another one. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him. So Peter's making Christianity very simple. He's dumbing it down for us. He says, all you need for life and godliness, all you need to please God and do everything he wants you to do, you need to know him through the knowledge of him. We've already seen how desperate he is for this. He says, I know you know it. Don't give me that. I'm going to tell you it again. And I'm going to keep telling you it again until I'm dead. And after I'm dead, I'm going to try to make sure you can still hear this message. And he did. And it's right here in the Bible. And he says, what I want you to know who my God is. So the conviction of Peter was, you need to know God. Why? You get grace. God enables you to do what you can do for yourself. It's peace. You can sleep in it. I love the verses in Psalms that talk about he gives his beloved sleep. or lay me down and sleep, right? Rest. But the fourth one here, verse 4, whereby, going back up to verse 3 about the not knowing God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So Peter says, if you know who my God is, if you know Him, you get grace, you get peace, you get everything you need for life and godliness, and you get exceeding great and precious promises. If we just started counting, we could stay here all night, counting the promises of God for us. Now, there are some promises that aren't for us. Some promises that God didn't make for us. But there are promises, for example, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's a promise. Jesus said, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. From promises God we have, and we can know we have them if we know God, because God cannot lie. So Peter has given us his compassion, his love for this topic. It's so important to him, he's not going to stop. And then he explains how important this topic is. All these benefits, grace, peace, everything you need to be a godly person, and exceeding great and precious promises. Then Peter clarifies where this comes from. Peter explains how do we get to know God then? Because there are a lot of weird ideas on how to get to know God. People think they can read a book and get to know God. People think they can go to some of these churches that don't have anything to do with God and get to know God. Peter says in verses 16, 21, we're not going to take time to read it because of time, but Peter says in verse 16, 17, and 18, he says, one way I know God is my experience. Peter says, I didn't make this up, verse 16. He says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. So Peter says, you need to know God. It's very important. I'm not making up this message as if it's that important. I didn't make it up. He says, I saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain. And then verses 19 to 21, Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. So Peter says, if you could follow me here, he says, first of all, how important this message is, I'm going to keep talking about it until I die. And after I die, I hope you don't forget. Then he says, this is what the message is. You need to know my God. Here's why. You have grace. You have peace. You have everything you need for life and godliness. All these benefits. And then he says, here's how you get to know my God. Not experience. He says, I had experience. And I did get to know Him a little bit from experience. But this word is better than experience. Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, I heard the voice. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? He was up there and he heard God say, this is my beloved Son. Peter says, yes, I have that experience, but this word is even more important. A more sure, more solid way to know God. We can know about God from creation. We can know about God from His experiences in our lives. I've talked to people, I think they're going to heaven because they prayed and God kept them from having an accident. That's not salvation. Peter's saying that. He's saying experience is not enough. This word is where we find foundation. My last point, though, and this is where it comes home to us. Okay? Peter is talking to Christians, right? Clearly he's talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian, first thing to do is get to know Jesus as your Savior. Probably since Wednesday night, everyone here understands that Jesus died for their sin. And they've received Jesus as their Savior. But this is talking to Christians, which means there can be Christians who don't know God. But Peter makes a point, we're going to see, we skip the verses. Verses 5 to 10. This is where I want to close. Verses 5 to 10. We've seen Peter's compassion for this topic, Peter's conviction about this topic, Peter's clarification of where this is coming from. Not experience, from the Word of God. And then Peter's caution to all of us about this topic. Peter's caution about knowing God. This is where it gets pretty hard. Okay? Verses 5 to 10, we're going to read the verses really quick. Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, okay, now that phrase right there implies something that requires work, okay? This is something that's going to be hard, diligence. And then he says, add to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, into knowledge temperance, into temperance patience, into patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, look at this here, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. This last point here, the caution Peter makes. He's told us how important this message is to him. He's told us what the benefits are and where we get to know God is from God's Word. But then he says, hold on a second, wait a second. This knowledge, this is my paraphrase of what he's saying, this knowledge of God must impact the way you live. What Peter's saying is, he says, give diligence, this is hard, add to your faith. And then he gives a list, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness. What he's saying is, your knowledge of God ought to impact what you do and ought to impact what you don't do. And Peter says, if you do these things, you'll never fall. But if you don't, look at verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That implies that you can be barren and unfruitful and know Him. See that? So Peter's saying, we all need to know God. We have all these four huge promises to those who know God. But he says, wait. If you just know Him in your head, it doesn't do anything for you. The knowledge you have of God must change what you do. He says, if it changes what you do, you'll make a difference. But if it doesn't, he says, if it abounds, look at verse 8, if it abounds, if it's growing, but if it doesn't, you're barren and unfruitful. You know what that means? You can know God and get none of these promises. You can know God in your head and get none of these benefits. In verse 9, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten he was purged from his old sins. So Peter now gives us four cautions. He says, if you don't let what you know of God change you, one, you won't have any benefits. You'll be worthless, barren and unfruitful. If you don't let what you know of God change you, you'll be blind. You won't understand God's hand in your life. You'll be nearsighted. You won't be focusing on heaven. You'll be focusing on this world. And we see that a lot. I see that all the time. Because they know about God in their head, but they haven't let it change the way they live. And then Peter says, and you might even forget that you were purged from your old sins. You know what that means? You might forget you were even saved. Talk to anybody that doubts their salvation? It's because they might know about God in their head, but they haven't let that knowledge grow and change the way they live. In Psalm 119, verse 32, the psalmist says, I will run the way of thy commandments, and thou shalt enlarge my heart. What that means is, the psalmist was saying, as soon as you show me something about you, as soon as you show me something you want me to do, I'm going to pursue it and get it done. That's what Peter's asking us to do. He says, work at it, give diligence, add to your faith. Let what you know of God change the way you live. Now if we just stop and think, what do we know about God? We'd say, well, God is love. Okay, God is love. Have you let that change the way you live? You walk by people that God loves and don't even tell them anything. Don't even give them a track. You're not letting what you know of God change the way you live. God is forgiving. You're bitter. These cautions are yours. Because you're not letting what you know of God change the way you live. What about if you worry? God's powerful. You know that. He's omnipotent. Peter said, if you know God, let it change the way you live. There's a lot of things we could talk about. We could talk about God's holiness. Do we tolerate little sin? Maybe on TV, in our music, in our dress. Peter says, you need to know God. I'm going to keep harassing you until I'm dead. But if it doesn't change the way you live, it's worthless. Will you let what you know of God change the way you live? So we've seen the compassion of Peter for this topic. It's so important. He's going to keep talking about it until he's dead. We've seen the conviction of Peter, why this is so important, all these benefits. We've seen the clarification that it doesn't come from experience, it comes from God's Word. So, often I talk about how you need to spend more time in God's Word, and it's very true, we absolutely do, but sometimes we need the time we have spent in God's Word, we need to let change us. We can keep spending time in God's Word and knowing more about God, but Peter's saying, let it impact you, act upon it. For us, that's why we're going to Ivory Coast. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that one, the Bible says that God demonstrated His love to me, that when I was a sinner, Jesus died for me. For me to obey this passage, the love of God. Paul said, that constrains me. He's going to push me there. Peter said, do you know what God loves? What is it making you do? What is it making you not do? How is it making you change? Let's pray and we'll be finished. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this message from Peter. The compassion Peter had for us, for Christians. And the compassion, the love Peter had for this message. He had spent time with you and he got to know you. He grew to love you. And he wants us to do the same. I pray that you'd help every one of us here. I know we know a lot about you. Pray that you'd help us to pinpoint the place where we're not letting what we know about you impact our lives. That you would convict us, help all of us to have these four promises, grace, multiplied peace, and everything we need for life and godliness, and the exceeding great and precious promises that we have in knowing you. Pray that you bless the rest of the evening in Jesus' name.